Topics. Hot topics. Now listen, I tell the other pastors I'm doing this, it's really kind of amazing because they sit there and they go, wow, we need someone to do this so we can see how not to blow up our church. And I actually had one pastor tell me, he sat there and he said, would you write a book when you're done so that we'll know how to address these issues? I said, brother, just pray for me. Pray that I'll know how to address them because some of these issues are really, really tough. And I'm really trying to give a biblical perspective. Christians need to have answers for the issues of today. Amen. And we shouldn't be afraid to stand up for what we believe in. And at the same time, we don't want to be religious people that just simply want to, you know, control everything. We have to understand that God is raising us up to be his children, to make good choices. And so I'm not here to impose a law or a ruling from the church on anybody. What I'm here is to try to share biblical truths with you. Amen. And guess what our topic is today?
What?
Marijuana.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to talk about marijuana a little bit today. We're going to talk about it from a biblical perspective. And as you may imagine, there's not a lot written on the Bible about it. So we're going to have to interpret some of the scriptures in light of what it is. But I think it's important that you guys understand that the Bible has something to say on everything. But it requires you to kind of see what the overall guiding principles are in the Bible to see how they apply to current day events. And we also have words from prophets and stuff. And sometimes me and Jeannie have been talking about some of the subjects I'm going to be covering. And there's things like abortion and there's things like homosexuality and many other things that I'll be talking about in the days to come. But I really feel like I want to share from a biblical perspective how we stand on these issues. People here may have a different view, and that's between you and God, and that's fine. I just want to share with you my view and have you understand where I'm coming from. I've listened to all and read as many experts as I could in the field about each of these subjects that I have time to do, and it's amazing because it's really difficult to talk about things that aren't mentioned in the Bible. Amen? But before we do that, I have a little something to share with you. So this man was talking to God one day, and he asked him, he said, Lord, what is a million years to you? And the Lord said, a minute. He said, wow. And he said, Lord, what is $1 million to you? And the Lord said, it's like a penny. So the man thought for a minute, and he said, Lord, could I have a penny? And the Lord turns around to him and says, in just a minute. So is it a sin to use marijuana? That's kind of what we're coming at here. You know, we have the words cannabis, pot, weed, grass, hemp, dope, joint, reefer, Mary Jane, stinkweed, skunky, and many other names. But my favorite is the devil's cabbage. I've never seen this until I started reading this person's view on it. And he used that term. I've never heard it before that. The devil's cabbage. So what's the harm in using it? And what does the Bible tell us about marijuana? So that's a big subject, okay? And that's a subject that a lot of people, now that we have states that are legalizing marijuana, it's a real current issue. It's an issue that we all have to deal with. And we all have to not only have a personal stand, but we have to be able to share why we believe what we believe. I'm always telling people, don't just follow the crowd. Don't be a bobblehead. Know why you believe what you believe and be able to communicate it. Amen? We as Christians need to be able to communicate our stances, and we need to make it like it's not a religious thing where we just want to control and manipulate, but we have to come to people and say, this is why I believe what I believe. Now, listen, just because we believe that way doesn't force them to believe anyway, but in order to communicate with the world and to have influence, the church is supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be influencing the world around us. And so it's really important that we have an opinion about things so that we can be salt and light. And there's a lot of issues which you know I'm very strong about, like this red band here, which is the life band about abortion. And there's other issues I'm exploring like you're exploring. I'm looking into it like you're looking into it. I want to know what my response will be. So today is my response to marijuana. And as I'll share earlier, I wasn't always a Christian, so there may have been some experimentation going on there. So I may have some practical experience as well. But some of the negative effects of marijuana have already been studied, and I tried to use only the ones where the studies showed some actual study that showed proof of it, but it affects the way our brain develops as we're teenagers. So if you're a young user, it can really affect your mind and the way your mind develops. It influences or increases bronchitis. You get more phlegm, lung irritation, and it worsens lung problems. This is smoking marijuana. It affects fetal development. So if you're a mother or a potential mother and you're smoking marijuana at the time that you get pregnant, it could affect your child's development. It weakens your immune system. It makes you more susceptible to flus or colds or whatever. Something I didn't realize in my earlier days is it speeds up your heart rate. It actually speeds it up like 20 to 50 beats per minute and can actually double it sometimes. So you can have like 170 heart rate or something with marijuana. Up to two times, depending on the circumstances. It lowers your inhibitions. And that's probably one of the things you have to be aware of is things that you wouldn't try normally. Well, when you're a little high, you might just decide to try something that you normally wouldn't. It makes you feel anxious, believe it or not, afraid or panicked, and it causes paranoia. And through that, it sometimes to some people, it causes hallucinations. Thank you. It impairs judgment and memory problems. And I'm hallucinating now. And increases depression, withdrawal, and addiction. It causes delayed reactions, which is really bad for driving. As a matter of fact, it says next to alcohol, marijuana is the second most frequently found substance in the bodies of drivers involved in fatal automobile accidents. So it's a danger on the road. And police, I just talked to the police last Tuesday. We had a meeting with the police, with the clergy, and they said, we don't really have a good method to test for marijuana right now. And so, you know, we look at the eyes and they're red, same things they were doing in the 60s and 70s, but they don't really have newer ways. Now, there are newer ways being developed, but they don't have it presently, at least not the LAPD. And then we come to the idea, well, what's the legal status of cannabis? And California just recently legalized cannabis for both medical and recreational use. So it used to be against the state law to use it, but no longer is. So that concern for Christians has been removed. However, the federal law, it's still against federal law. It's not only that, but it's a Schedule I drug. There's five schedules, five being the least and one being the most. The federal government classifies cannabis as a Schedule I drug. Schedule I drugs means this: substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Some examples of Schedule I drugs are heroin, LSD, cannabis, ecstasy, and peyote. CBD, which is the element that's used for many of the medical applications that doesn't get you high, has been moved to Schedule 5, which is their lowest schedule of illegal substances. Of course, opium and certain other things that are used medically are also on those schedules. So it's not talking about medical use in particular. It's just talking about the drugs themselves. And so we have this scripture in Romans 13:1-2. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists that God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So we are not only encouraged, but we are told to obey the local governments. So if something's illegal, we're not supposed to participate in it. Now, of course, if they said it was illegal to believe in Jesus, that would be something the higher authority would take effect in that place. But generally speaking, when something's against the law in the land, then we are to avoid it. But as I look at you, I imagine every single one of you have gone over the speed limit. So there is, unless you don't drive. You've never gone over the speed limit? I see you don't drive. Ah. But you've participated. So we have the negative effects of marijuana, we have the legal status of marijuana, then we have the fact that we are told to exercise control. This scripture in 2 Peter 1, 3, 3-11 says this: His divine power is granted to us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. 3 pages this week, so that was amazing. That through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with, and this is very important, self-control. And self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. That's the God type of love, the ultimate love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, meaning that you're having more knowledge, more self-control, more steadfastness, if they're increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks in these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for it's a if you practice these qualities, you will what? Never fail. Now, when I read this as a young Christian, I said, man, I am going to remember these. Because if I do these things, right, I will never fail. And how many of us want to never fail again? I'll just say it that way, right? If I say never fail, I don't think any of us can raise our hands. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, just because all things are permissible to us doesn't mean that all things are beneficial to us. And so that's what I have to say. So people that are pro-cannabis say, look, the God gave every herb, every green plant for our use, and that's true. But the way we use it is up to us. I mean, ultimately, that's our decision, right? And so we are to exercise these virtues when thinking about the freedom we have in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Again, I'm not here to like pronounce some judgment. What I'm here to pronounce is wisdom and counsel from the Bible so that you can see where the Bible's coming from. Marijuana can, and this is something that I wrote, can cause both dependence and addiction. So that's really important. If you're trying to exercise self-control and you're addicted to something or you're dependent upon something, but then so can alcohol. So I'm not separating those two. I'm simply saying that it can cause both dependence and addiction. Although they don't always occur together, a person can be physically dependent on marijuana without exhibiting the compulsive behaviors associated with dependence, with addiction, excuse me. And dependence means the person needs the drug to function normally. There's some people that use so much marijuana that they need the drug just to function in life. Their body has become so used to the drug that they cannot function normally without it. Addiction means the person has an uncontrollable craving for a drug and the compulsive use of it, regardless of the negative effect it has on them. Nearly 3 out of every 10 people who use weed will develop some degree of problematic use of the drug, and 9% will become dependent on it. That's almost 1 out of every 10. Teens using marijuana face an even bigger risk. Approximately 17% of the teens who smoke weed develop a dependence on the drug. That's almost 1 out of 6, right? Yes. It's like 1 out of 6. So the next thing is, and this continues with this, is marijuana a gateway drug? Now, read now Psychology Today. In the earlier mentioned article, marijuana users were 5 to 9 times as likely to experience an opioid problem 3 years later than if they used marijuana occasionally, frequently, or very frequently, respectively. And so it wasn't really well worded there, but what basically they're saying is, depending on how much of it you use, there's a 5 to 9 time chance, greater use chance, that you will go into something bad. But at the same time, 95% of all marijuana users do not go on to use harder drugs or more powerful drugs. Still, the odds greatly increase with its use. Of adults 26 or older who used marijuana before the age 15, 62% went on to use cocaine at some point in their lives. 9% went on to use heroin at least once, and 54% made some non-medical use of mind-altering prescription drugs. So there are some real risks involved in using marijuana. Especially for younger people, there's even like double the risk factor for younger kids in using worse drugs in the future. So they are a gateway drug in that sense. Another viewpoint that we need to look at is the fact that we are the temple of God, and what we use this body for, we're accountable for. And so we have to remember, is what we're doing actually helping the kingdom of God? Is it actually promoting our use in the kingdom? Or is it causing us to be less than what we're called to be? And so that's a very important element as well, treating your body as the temple that is called to be. And then another thing is not to be disqualified, because any kind of use, this is alcohol or any, you can be disqualified. Galatians 5:19-21 says this: "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery," which is pharmakia, or kia, as some of you say, but it's kia when I looked it up, and this particular usage. And that means using drugs to gain power or insight that you wouldn't normally have. In other words, oftentimes, drugs were used to either poison people or to help enhance their experience in idolatry. So it does not mean all drugs, as if that's not the way it was used in the time of the New Testament. But if it was used that way, because we have Luke. Remember, Luke was a physician, and he had plants and herbs and stuff that he used to bring healing. That wouldn't be under the idea of sorcery. Modern medicine is not sorcery. Modern medicine is not trying to gain some evil power. It's using the different compounds in the world to help heal the world, which is a great thing. Amen. But there's also empty strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. Envy, drunkenness, which is something that can remove you. And I really equate marijuana a lot to drunkenness in the scriptures, because it has similar effects, not the same effects, but similar. Orgies and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's this idea that by using drugs, you can get closer to God. And I believe this qualifies as sorcery. So there's a church down south. I won't mention the name. You know, I don't like to mention other ministries, but there's a church down south that believes that cannabis will heighten your experience of God. And this is a church that was actually really against pornography. So they were in a lot of ways champion areas in Christianity, but now they've come out very strongly pro cannabis in their messages, which I find interesting. I believe that if you try to use or any substance, not just marijuana or alcohol or anything, to try to get closer to God, you're being deceived, self-deceived. If something makes you less accountable to God, it works against the true communion with God. So when I was younger and I would use certain substances or drink certain substances, I would feel less accountable. You see what I'm saying? I would feel like all my mistakes, who cares, man? I'm just having a good time. Who cares, you know? And which means I wasn't really learning my lessons, which means I was setting myself up to fail again. And not only that, but I became less worried about the consequences of things. So I spent less time trying to avoid bad consequences, which led to bad consequences. So that is just counsel. Take it as you will. You're still accountable regardless of what condition you're in. So this is what I wrote. You can't blame your lack of self-control on a drug you choose to use. You can't sit there and go, I took this drug and now I'm not accountable for all the stupid things I do. No, you're accountable. And the Bible says that you will be accountable for your words and your actions, regardless of your choices in life. If it inhibits you from achieving the goals God has in your life, then that too you are accountable for. But most importantly, especially about marijuana, I feel like the way that it affects the mind, it can also be used as a spiritual gateway. And this means we're using drugs and opening up to other sins and associated spirits that promote them through removing the inhibitions that are naturally within your personality. So you start taking, you know, you've heard about people being socially lubricated by drinking alcohol, right? Because it removes the inhibitions that they have in a group setting. And while I'm not condemning that completely, I am saying that that is also similar to marijuana, and that it can eventually remove inhibitions to committing sins. And so that we are definitely against. Amen. And so it's very important for people to understand that this can be a spiritual gateway, and you can get involved in things that you normally wouldn't get involved in, and you can allow things to enter you that you normally wouldn't allow you to enter you. So you can actually get yourself in spiritual trouble. And I know that I have been around people who have alcoholic problems and other things, and it's very spiritually based. Goes well beyond just the addictive nature of the alcohol. They're emotionally, soulishly addicted to these things, and so it can be with marijuana. You need to be wise. I think it's important to understand that God is raising us up to be in his image. He's not raising us up to be children all our lives. He's raising us up to be mature in Christ. So for me to sit there and say, this is a rule and this is a rule, would be unfair to you, because I'm treating you as children and not allowing you to make your own decisions. If you make bad decisions, you will have bad results. If you make good decisions, you'll have better results. And this is just wisdom. Amen? And so when you're confronted about these things, you have to determine what Holy Spirit is saying to you. I'm not going to sit out there and become a religious spirit and say, you can't do that and you can't do this and how dare you wear that hat in church and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? We're not going there. I'm treating you as adults. I knew this lady from Israel. Her name's Yael, which means goat. You go for there, but she's a sweetheart. She was amazing. And she, we talked for many times. She says, you know why you have so many alcoholics in America? I go, why? Because we don't have them in Israel. I go, why is that? She goes, because you treat it as a taboo. You treat it like it's this thing, and you can't have to be 21, so then kids get involved in it when they're young and all this stuff. She says, we have a lot less, but our children go to the store and buy alcohol and bring it home for the parents. I said, really? And she said, yeah. I said, well, that's interesting. The concept is not that I want us to change our laws and have children be able to buy alcohol. That's not my point. The concept is you treat people like adults, they act like adults. You treat them like children, they begin to act like children. So I think that if we treat people like adults, we will have a better maturity within the body of Christ. I would rather arm you with information and with knowledge and have you make your choices than to sit there and say, this is what I decide here, this is what I decide there. That just becomes like a cult. You know what I'm saying? You need to take the scriptures and apply them to your life. Now, I will say we have a policy at Firepoint. I will discuss that in a moment. But I do want you to understand that I'm not trying to put legalism on you. We are under grace. There is no prohibition against drinking alcohol within the Bible. There are many warnings against it, but there's no prohibition, okay? And so for us to sit there and create a prohibition, you saw how that worked in our country years back. It didn't work so good. So people just drink stronger alcohol then because they get moonshine or whatever, yeah. So it actually got worse for many people. So I think treating people like adults is the true way that Christ... I don't see Christ sitting there making rules for anybody. He's kind of like, what are you seeking? Where are you going? What really matters to you? And I think that's what we have to, as adults, say to ourselves. If I just make a ruling on something, then I don't think that I'm giving you the opportunity to make good decisions. I'm just telling you what I think you should do, which may not matter very little to you as you walk out the door today. But at least I can give you counsel now, and you can make your own decisions. Something I thought was interesting was my own testimony in this, and let me share this quickly. When I was 12 years old, that's 1972, for those that, I was born in 1960, so 1972, I was 12 years old, and I was first introduced to marijuana. And some kid had it, and he said, hey, try this really cool. I had no knowledge what was going on. I heard the name, but that was it. And I was like, oh, sure, man, I'll try it. So I smoked it, and hey, I was pretty euphoric, and it kind of made my head feel funny and fuzzy, and all of a sudden I didn't feel so bad for getting a C in math and, you know, whatever, you know. And I didn't get a C in math, but if I had, okay. I just didn't care. And all of a sudden I didn't care about a lot of things. All I cared about was laughing and joking around. And then eventually I got really, really hungry, and I just ate a bunch of, you know, chips. And so then I started, and that just started at 12, and that was like a overnight at a guy's house, and they had some marijuana, so we smoked it like the taboo thing, you know? And then pretty soon we started getting more and more people, and people started buying lids. You know what those were? Those, back in those days, you get this big thing, a baggie, about that much weed in it, and it's for $10, and some of it was pretty rank, you know? It was pretty bad. And so I started smoking it, and then as I go into my teenager years, 13, 14, I smoked it quite a bit, actually. Not every day, but quite a bit. And then as I got a little bit older, I realized the negative effect it was having me. So by the time I get in high school, I'm realizing my grades are going down, my attitude about school is going down, and so I start to cut back a little bit. And I limit myself just on weekends a little bit. Now, this is my experience. I haven't given my life to Jesus. I'm not a Christian. And so then I started smoking marijuana just on weekends. I called myself a weekend warrior. And that's the time I smoked on it. And my grades started to improve, and things started to get better in my life. But as I grew in high school and into college, I found out that the more marijuana use I had in my life, the less I achieved. And the less marijuana I had, the more I achieved. So I began to see a correlation with my activities in this area. And that goes the same with alcohol, too. The more that I participate in that, the less I achieved in life. And the more I put it to the side, the better I was. Now, as I went to college at the age of 18, I started feeling that I needed to lay these things down. And so I started to lay them down as I started to seek my purpose in life before I was a Christian, before I had an encounter with God. And it came up that I finally got down to where I was just smoking marijuana once in a while up until I started really seeking God with all my heart. And then when I started seeking God with all my heart, I laid it down completely. I've never taken it back up. I laid it down completely. I wasn't saved yet. I was just seeking God. But I knew instinctively that it was prohibiting me from truly finding what I was looking for. As I gave up marijuana, I found out that I was drawing closer and closer to God the less and less I wanted it. And as I came into that day where I had that encounter with God, it just completely broke any desire in my life for it. So when people say that marijuana brings them closer to God, I just don't see it. From my own personal experience, I don't see it taking place. I see that you become less accountable, less concerned about tomorrow and eternity, and you get more concerned about having fun in the moment. And I just don't see it working for people. So I just want to say that. I think it's important that people consider what effect it's going to have on their life by participating in this. Ministering under the influence. In Leviticus 10, 8 through 11, it says this. And I think this is really important. And the Lord spoke to Aaron saying, drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you when you go to the tent of meetings, lest you die. So God considers being drunk or being wasted in his presence an affront to him. He does not agree with it. He says they could even cause your death. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. So he's saying forever. He's not just talking about the Old Testament. He's talking for all times. You are distinguished between the holy. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. You are to teach people of Israel all the statutes of the Lord as spoken to them by Moses. So here we have the Lord saying, don't do this, but then he kind of gives a reason. He says, you failed to distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. You begin to blur the lines when you're on drugs. Of any sort of alcohol. So whenever you minister, whenever you come to, he's not telling them they can't have a drink. He's saying whenever you come to minister, don't ever be under the influence of anything. Specifically, he calls out wine and strong drink here. Drugs like marijuana, alcohol, and others blur, I put down here repeating it, blurred the distinction between the holy and the common or the profane, between the unclean and the clean. Cannabis does not draw us closer to God, but might give us a false sense of being accountable or unaccountable, as it may be. It could lead to a false feeling of grace. You can literally say, hey, God's cool with this, man. Everything's fine. It can lead you to believe that you are better off with God than you really are. And so be careful. And I do caution you not to do things that bring you into that place of a false grace. 1 Peter 5:8 says, last scripture says, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, by the way, it's brought into the sentence, be sober minded, be watchful, is what you need to avoid the enemy who is seeking to devour you. Once you become unsober, and you're not watchful, then you're easy prey for the enemy. And sin will find you out. It crouches at the door. So whenever you use drugs or alcohol for that matter, you have to be aware that you're setting yourself up for an attack from the enemy. And to be very cautious and to be very sober-minded. The Bible tells us again, in Ephesians, not to be drunk on wine, but be drunk in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying the Firepoint does not have a statute against alcohol. We treat you like adults. The scripture says what it says. You know what it says. We do have a prohibition against any alcohol in any Firepoint event or ministry. And we have that with every other drug as well. So if you want to be lead a meeting or you want to be in a meeting, you cannot be in the influence of any of these while you are ministering. And for us that are pastors that go to the hospitals and stuff, we have to think about that, right? I'm not saying but we have to make sure that we're sober minded and able to minister whenever the Lord would call upon us. Amen. So Firepoint's policy is basically this. Firepoint Church does not permit the ongoing or unrepentive use of cannabis as leaders or ministers that will have our approval or consent. We do, however, recognize and approve of the proper medical use of cannabis under the direction of a medical doctor. If you use cannabis, marijuana, the devil's cabbage, and you come to church, you are welcome. You are welcome here. You are welcome. We do not have a law of aversion to people that have that in their lives. But if you want to be a minister here, if you want to exercise spiritual authority here, then you must exercise self-control. Amen? And so I ask that if you want to be a minister, if you want to be a leader here, then you have to put certain things to the side. And I believe that drug use is one of them because it's still against the federal law, because it's still against federal law on Schedule I drug, which I wonder if it should be a Schedule I drug, but nevertheless it is, and that makes it against federal law. Then you have to consider what that looks like in your life. Amen? And without me throwing rules and regulations and judgments at you, I do have to protect the people that come here to be ministered to. That is something that's important. So I want to make sure that our ministers are sober and that they're not drug users when they're ministering to you. Amen? Now, is it a sin to smoke marijuana? It's a sin based upon the fact that it's against federal law, but that could change any time. And so the church can't stop hiding behind legal laws because they are changing in the land all around us. Is it a sin to smoke marijuana? No. There's nothing in the Bible that says, or I can point to, that says it's a sin, other than it's breaking the law. But I do caution against it, and I do say that it's wrong to do. Certainly is a sin to do it in an area where you minister or where you have spiritual authority. Amen? I caution you not to do it. I stopped smoking marijuana in 1979. I have never touched an illegal drug since that date. When I gave my life to Jesus, that was it. That was the end. And I have never looked back, and I don't want to. I have no desire to ever engage it again. But I do want to make sure that when I speak as the authority of the Bible, that I give the full counsel of the Bible as it's written and not try to add something to it. Would I like to make all drugs against? Yeah, I would, kind of, sort of. But I really can't do that. I need to treat you guys as adults unless you make your own decisions. And so that's what we're doing. And that's where we're at as Firepoint. But I do recommend very much that you consider the actions and the choices you make in life, because you can find very carefully you're not where you want to be. But most importantly, I think, is when you give an account for your life, do you want to look at Jesus and say to him, this is the choices I made, and not to have achieved all that he's called you to do? Now, I have watched and talked to other pastors about this. I actually had a senior pastor, local senior pastor, I won't say who he was. He told me, he doesn't use either, but he told me if he was going to use one or the other, he'd probably be more inclined to use marijuana than alcohol. Isn't that interesting? That's a pastor. I mean, he's a well-known pastor. So, I mean, there is a lot of controversy about in the body of Christ about this, and I don't want to offend anyone. I just want to give you the counsel that's from the Bible. If you want my personal opinion, you can always ask. But the Bible does not have a scripture that says don't do this. And pharmakia, which has been used by a lot, doesn't properly cover this subject. It's not good exegesis to use that and to say that that is covering all use of drugs. It simply isn't that. It's drugs used to create or empower evil power in your life. It was actually used as sorcery to create a connection to idols, or to create poisons and potions to control people. Stand with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for hot topics. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you so much that we are your children, Lord, and that you'll keep us out of the snare of the enemy, that you'll keep us out of the trap, Lord, that you'll help us to walk in this life and make full proof of our ministries, Father. I thank you, Father, that we are your ministers, and Lord, that you've called us to walk in your wisdom and in your light. Lord, we give you thanks that you will not allow us, Father, to make the poor choices that we might make, but you will give us the counsel that keeps our feet from the traps of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Now, if there's anyone here that you've never given your life to Jesus, today is your opportunity. Today is your choice. There's many choices in life, and they lead to different places. But when you choose Jesus, it leads to eternal life. John 3:16 says it so well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but should have eternal life." When you choose Jesus, the Bible says that you're instantly transformed into a new creature. You're instantly made into someone who's designed to overcome this world and all the different things that that come against you, every trial, every tribulation, God has empowered you to be victorious over. If you've never accepted Jesus today, if you want that victory in your life, if you want that assurance in your life that you are going to heaven, that if you died today, that you would know that you would be in God's presence at that moment, then you need to accept the grace of God that is only given through Jesus Christ. That grace is not for any purchase or any price, but it's only by humbling yourself and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that's you today, we're going to say a prayer now. And I want you to say it with all your heart and truly mean it. Everyone, say this to me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. I receive today your gift of eternal life as I repent of all my sins and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Amen. If you said now and you meant it with all your heart that you're turning your heart towards God, then I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand to show as an act of faith that you meant what you said. The count of three, raise them high. One, two, three. See those hands go up? I see that hand. Thank you, thank you. Go ahead and put your hands down. Thank you so much. Let's give a warm clap to the Lord. As you leave today, I pray that you will make wise decisions, that you will not be led into a captivity of legalism, but you will also be led by a spirit of self-control. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. We have prayer team.